this is Connie Smith with OSU Extension of Fairfield County. Always a pleasure to have 4-H'ers on the 88.9 WLRY farm page, where we celebrate good kids doing good things. But guess what? This week we are celebrating a former 4-H'er who had 10 years in the program. Melissa Henwood Collins is back with us. You have the business called Doggy Talk 101. Tell me what that is, girlfriend.
My business is dog training. I just love working with the dogs and getting them to really bond with their owners. So I've looked at a couple different programs where I do some in-home training where I can come to your home and work with you. And kind of get you started. If you have a puppy, get them started on getting exposure, potty training, things like that in the house. Or if you have an older dog, looking at some behavior modification around the home. And I also do board and trains where I bring the dog to me, and I keep them with me for a week or two and work on the training behaviors and then follow up with you and show you what I've worked with, why I've had them, so you're able to implement those once you get home.
Yeah. And so help our listeners understand, you were in 4-H in Fairfield County as a youth, 10-year member, and you told me off air, that was kind of how you got started. What projects did you take that made you think about dog training being something you really wanted to do?
Correct. I grew up raising cattle, so we showed beef cattle. I did more of the breeding stock and did some market. We also had market hogs and rabbits. I did the sewing stuff as well, too, but I really enjoyed being in the barn and working with the animals. That was my highlight of my day. I enjoyed working with the personalities and teaching the cattle how to walk on a leash, how to walk on a halter, getting them ready to show, things like that. So I really knew once going through that experience that I wanted to pursue a career, but I didn't continue to do that, working with hands-on with the animals.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Ohio State and studied animal science. I still wasn't real sure why I was there, what I was going to do once I graduated, but once I graduated, I got started with pilot dogs in Columbus, Ohio, training guide dogs for the blind. So I got to kind of use that hands-on training and working with getting the personalities of the dogs like I used to work with the cattle, and getting to continue to keep that career or keep that passion of working with animals and training them for a purpose.
Yeah. How cool is that? And, you know, here's the thing. I wanted to bring you on today, Melissa, because I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe our listeners who are thinking about the Christmas puppy, or like in my case, I said yes to a pandemic puppy, and I was not prepared at all. So let's help our listeners understand what do you look at, or what gets you started when you start thinking about bringing that puppy home? Do you think about the breed? How do you start to make those decisions?
It definitely just doing a lot of research, kind of looking at what breed you think is going to be the best for your family. What kind of lifestyle are you living? Do you have a very active lifestyle? Do you want a dog that's going to be on the go and ready to go with you everywhere? Do you want a slower paced dog that's going to be ready to lay on the couch with you and then just enjoy cuddling up, watching things? Also kind of looking at what kind of animals you have around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be a dog that's going to be able to get along with other dogs that are in the house? Maybe you have another energetic dog that you're like, great, I want another dog that's really going to want to be playful and play with them. Or also being one that's going to be a little bit more laid back if you have another older dog in the house,
mm-hmm.
As well as getting along with children.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research, see if you can find a dog that does better with children, that's maybe a little bit more productive. And the other thing of that is definitely looking like at the size as well, too. Maybe you want a smaller dog if you're not looking to do as much activity, getting them out as much. You can also do a bigger dog if you are saying you want to go hiking with them, things like that, mm-hmm. as well as the energy level. Mm-hmm. And I also always say to look at the hair. are you going to want to get a dog that you're going to have to keep up on the grooming? Is it going to be one that sheds that you can just do the grooming yourself, or you're going to have to take him to go get groomed, the mm-hmm. extra expense with that as well, too? Or do you just want a short hair that you don't have as much with that? So there's just a couple different factors to look at, but definitely doing your research and looking online at kind of what breed you'd be interested in, just to kind of look at what's going to fit best with your family.
Right, right. And you know what? As you know, you know, we've known each other for years, but I said yes to the cute puppy picture of the German Shepherd. And you can laugh out loud. It's all right, Melissa, because I've admitted this to myself. I have said yes to the cute puppy picture, and I loved her. I still love her. She's 7 months old, but wowza, wowza. Is she a big girl? And there's hair. And she is my son's dog, which is probably better. But I have learned from this experience, I will be looking at a much smaller, more sedate dog than my Charmy the German Shepherd. So, but don't you think the same applies with even if you're yes. going to the pound to for a rescue?
Yes, definitely. Just kind of knowing like what kind of factors you want to play with that, because it is. Do you want something that's going to be very playful? Do you want something that's a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more reserved? And a lot of times at the pound, that's what they know, are able to look at their personalities a little bit more. Mm-hmm. The other nicer part with that is too, they may have an older dog, so it's maybe getting a one-year-old dog is a little bit better for you because you're past that potty training chewing stage mm-hmm. that you've obviously seen right now with yeah. having a puppy that is ongoing. So maybe that's another factor with looking at the pound too, that you can get. It's a little older dog that's going to be a little bit more mature, and just continue to look at what lifestyle you want and how that's going to really work with one of their dogs they have and kind of the personality they've seen with it already.
Absolutely. So tell me this. Let's say you do the Christmas puppy thing and you buy the puppy, and you know it's that, you know, Christmas wrap box, and a puppy jumps out and you just cuddle and love and cuddle and love. But what day do you start to train that puppy? I mean, is it the day it comes home? I know. Yeah, help us out.
Yeah, it can start right away. There's a lot that can go into a puppy that you don't even think about, especially with the exposure and the training. It starts from day one. What you're teaching them to do, how they're exploring and learning the world is setting them up to what it's going to be as they become older. Mm-hmm. They say within those like 6 to 14 weeks is when they're the most impressionable. So really setting and forming those good habits of, okay, you're not going to chew on the furniture. I'm going to give you your toy to chew on. We're going to go to the door. We're going to use that to go out to go to the bathroom. I'm going to get you comfortable with walking on a leash. Things like that. It's really started even in that puppyhood mm-hmm. that's going to form into once they get bigger. And there's a lot better to kind of work and set up as a puppy. So as they get bigger, you're not having to fight those bad habits as they've turned from a 10-pound puppy into an 80-pound puppy. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to start those and form those good habits. So then later on throughout life, they continue with those as they get older.
I think that was, I got to share with our listeners, Melissa did come to our house and she helped us with Charmy the German Shepherd. And even just knowing her name, you know, I just assumed she would hear us call her name enough, she would know it. But when you gave us the pointers on treating her every time she came to us to know her name, that was huge, you know. Now, she knows her name now. At 7 months, she also knows her name when she's in trouble, and she hides from, you know, she's very, very smart, and she's figured out what she could get away with. So
they learn that very quickly, too.
Exactly. So, like, help us understand, you know, for those of us who have the pandemic puppy, or we're thinking about bringing that puppy in, our homes are not normal right now as far as Christmas lights, Christmas plants, Christmas packages. How do we help those dogs get acclimated to all of the holiday trappings that we have around?
A lot of it is just being able to keep a close supervision with them.
Okay.
They do explore through their nose and through their mouth, especially with a puppy. That's what they're wanting, to smell everything, put it in their mouth. So just being able to really keep them supervised. I really am a big advocate for keeping them on leash even while they're in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how it's going to be set up for their whole life, but being able to have them getting comfortable with dragging that leash around so they're flailing it, being able to even just step on that leash if they're going to go towards something they're not supposed to, or say you need to walk out of the room and go somewhere else, you can pick up that leash, encourage them to walk with you and go to the other room. That way you're really able to keep a close supervision on them and get them comfortable with learning a little bit of their surroundings and staying close to you, so they're not into those modes of like, oh, she's in the other room, I know I can get into something over here. And you're also setting up basic things for them of, okay, you are getting used to being able to walk on leash with me because I'm going to grab your leash and go walk to the other room, so you're going to get comfortable with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of building up a lot of multiple aspects into it as well, too. By also keeping them safe, and also very much of being able to crate them, because as being a pandemic, we're home a lot more, so it's getting them comfortable with being in the crate, even while you are home, and it also gives them time to kind of calm down, relax, get to be able in their own spot, kind of process things. So it's always great if you know, okay, I'm not going to be able to wash them, I need to go jump in the shower. It's let me put them in the crate, and I know the dog's not eating the Christmas tree, or he's chewing up the present. I would say it's always better to have them in there instead of having to pay the vet bill to go get whatever removed that they ingested and can't pass through them. So definitely being able to put them in there, too.
You know what? And I got to add to that. We learned a hard lesson. Not a hard lesson, but, you know, as our dog got to the age where we were going to do the spay, you know, she's spending a lot more time in the crate because we did, you know, we did the spay the 1st of December. And so now she's having to spend a lot of time in the crate just to keep her safe from herself. You know what I mean? Not digging at the stitches and doing all that kind of stuff. And I think that's really hard with a puppy to get into that mode of crating, because they're just so darn cute, you know, and you just want to be playing with them, and you don't want to feel like the crate is not punishment. And I think that was a big lesson you taught us, that the crate was not punishment. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And it's definitely like looking at the crate as kind of like their spot to feel safe. And it's kind of, I always look at the nature terms, if they would be out, it's kind of their den area where they don't have to worry about stuff coming up to them. They can kind of relax and take a break. And also, they're not forming any bad habit because you've allowed them to get out and get into things, or be able to go to the bathroom, things like that. So it's really just putting a lot of stuff together and helping you be able to accomplish skills of not pottying in the house, not chewing things, but also giving them some constructive time to kind of unwind with everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, my special guest today on the 88.9 WLRY farm page, Melissa Henwood Collins of Doggy Talk 101. Now, Melissa, I'm going to have you back in January, because I think once the cuteness of the Christmas puppy wears off, or the fun of the pandemic pup comes to fruition, we need to talk with you a little bit more about getting them acclimated, the kind of training we can do, especially in the winter, you know, when maybe we can't go out for a walk every single day. What are some things we can do? How can they find you, Melissa? Is there a good number? Is there a website? Help us out with that.
Yeah, definitely you can check out my Facebook page or also go to my website. My website is just doggytalk101.com. Go check me out there or feel free to send me a message or give me a call. My phone number is 614-464-7721. And definitely go check out the website as well, too. And you can shoot me a message on there or email me at doggytalk101@outlook.com.
Perfect. Melissa Henwood Collins, always great to bring former 4-H'ers back to the farm page. But even more important, I think this is really needed right now because, you know, I think a lot of people working from home wanted that companion with them. And, oh my gosh, how lovable they can be, but how destructive the little fellows can be too. So anyway, thanks for your time, Melissa. Have a blessed holiday.
Thanks.